So is it AI or owl?
think it's pronounced I when you say it
Ah.
out loud. Yeah,
Ah.
almost like a really short scream.
Makes
I
sense.
believe. I mean, I don't know. I don't hear a lot of people saying it.
I
I
see a
see it
button.
written more often.
I see a button here in my Zoom that says AI companion. That sounds like really lovely. Like maybe it wants to give me a hug.
Right? I mean, it does. It takes you right to that her level where you're like, oh, that's the person I'm going to fall in love with. Which I think is a lot of, I mean, I remember for a while that was one of people's gravest social concerns about AI. I think we talked about this in our Is Technology Evil episodes, which was AI companions, once they sort of developed technologically, that it would be the ultimate permanent meet, technological meet cute for all of the socially anxious millennials and below, who, as a cohort, are some of the most low functioning human beings we've produced in terms of like social interaction. So that if you could just have an AI companion, then basically you could have a relationship. And in some ways, I often wonder, like at first that sounds horrifying, but you're like, well, or like if you're sort of constantly interacting, then in a way, maybe you'd still some parts of that, at least some parts of that part of the social need within us would be fed. But no, I don't want an I companion.
Well, today we can't help but join much of the world in a question that's going around. Is AI racist? And specifically, I'm going to look mostly at Google Gemini, the AI du jour. And I, of course, am your co-host, Andy Swindler.
And I am Brendan McNamara. Neither one of us, I think it's like undercover cops, right? If you ask them, they have to tell you, which I believe is not legally accurate, but it comes up in a lot of TV shows and movies. If you ask an AI, if it's an AI, it has to tell you. And neither one of us are. I am not an AI. I'm not an AI of myself. Although, hey, in the future, oh no, maybe 5 years from now, maybe that's exactly how we'll do this podcast. We'll just pump in all the information of these podcast episodes and then have AI run both of us and ask a question. It'd be a way to crank out episodes, you know? We could do multi episodes a day.
Well,
It'd
I
start to
am
get up.
either not an AI or I have been very successfully programmed not to believe that I am an AI.
Yeah, that would, I mean, that is certainly going to be one of the next steps. Yeah, it's been a big splashy debut this past week. In some ways, I think other than ChatGPT, this might be the splashiest sort of AI drop into our culture, mostly through what I would term negative publicity. And what I do think offers us a window into, I think a lot of people are making it, this is a window into the Silicon Valley mindset or the tech bro mindset, or I don't know if it's that. I think it tells us about the people at Google who worked on this, and like from top to bottom. At least that's really all it tells us about is whoever was involved in programming this thing. It's wild. It's basically like, you know how, at least in our generation, it was like this, where there was a lot of books and things that was like, racism isn't like, no child is born racist. Like they have to be taught racism. I think that's how a lot of people are looking at Gemini. So they're like, this child couldn't have been born racist, but it's been taught racism. And the cool thing is like looking at everybody on the team, you could literally identify by name all the people who taught this child to be racist. And not just racist, also. Like, so to me, I was like, is the AI racist? I mean, it certainly is right now. I always believe in tomorrow could be a better day. We can always learn from our mistakes, even if we're robot thinkers. But it is right now. But even more specifically, the people who trained it are either racist or thought it would be hilarious to train an AI to be racist and partisan to a degree I still can't fathom. And by the way, if you've kind of only heard glancing blows about this, Twitter is still, I think, the best resource for examining this, because people jumped right on it, or like, what crazy things can I make it say? So all I have to do is hop on Twitter and search Gemini, and then just start clicking and watching the crazy, amazing stuff that the AI answers and won't answer, revealing a bias that's beyond Google's regular bias, I would assume, right? Andy and I were talking offline or whatever through messages this week. All Sides, which is attempting to be a media bias examination organization, and they did a survey of Google News, and it showed that like 60 something percent of the news sources that they pump through their search engine, or even their like Google News, whatever, I don't know, platform is probably not the right word, but whatever, 60 something percent, 63% was left leaning. And you'd think, oh, that's not bad, that's gentle, right? 6% was right leaning. So you could see already that Google's, at least scattered throughout Google's outward facing, culture facing content, culture shaping content, they have a significant bias and they don't seem to care about it very much. I should say they care about it a little bit, because last time this All Sides did a survey of Google News, only 3% were right leaning. So they have doubled. That is significant. They're right leaning sources, they're right biased sources. But that does seem reflected also in Gemini's release. Does at least seem to paint, and this is a little broad of a brush, but for the purposes of creating a controversial statement, that Google itself is a racist and wildly partisan to a degree of, I would say, unhinged, like it's disconnected from humanity and reality, especially around the ethos of the show, which is about let's communicate with whoever, let's talk about everything. But they've programmed their AI to not talk about a lot of things and a lot of people. So I haven't signed up for it because there's way too many pages of things that you had to agree to, and I was like, I'm not gonna agree to those. And I'm assuming with Google, I don't know what I didn't have I didn't make the time to read, so I was like, well, I can't sign up for this to start asking it questions and see how racist and partisan it is.
Yeah, I
Are
actually
you
read
yeah are you seeing sorry go ahead
when I signed up for ChatGPT, I actually read through all the legal stuff.
yeah
And it was mainly, I was just curious about ownership of that one, and
yeah
pretty clearly, like, whatever you create, you own. So I thought, okay. I haven't used it for much, and I'm a little late to this game, which is kind of odd. I think I'm regressing, honestly, as a lifelong technologist. But
I
I
know.
do
Yeah,
want
you're usually at least the early first 10% adopter.
to. Yeah, totally. So I do want to get a little more into the AI game.
It's very the whole thing in general is very appealing to me,
Yeah.
especially because I'm a burgeoning children's book author. So I was like, man, if I could train AI to like do children's book illustrations, especially if I could nail down the styles that I particularly like,
Yeah.
I was like, I could start. Because I can't draw well enough, really, to do this type of books that I'd like to do. And I was like, if I could just write the words and you could do the thing, I was like, I could start putting out like four or five children's books a year easily.
Wow, that's
Not be
awesome.
so fun, right? I thought about that for your mom too, because your mom writes children's books.
Yeah.
That I was like, I mean, if you could train an AI for her, and then she could like modify the style of it, I was like, she could just start publishing self-publishing books like. Pretty quickly. I say that as someone who just it took 2.5, almost 3 years for my illustrator to finish all the work. A, because I did not pay her much and she has other jobs, and you know, I mean, we're working part-time on these things. And but I, you know, as I look at some of the AI art, I was like, I mean, we're not that far away from being able to do that. But of course, there's the stealing problem there in terms of AI is essentially like, but it's essentially stealing the way that human beings steal, which is you imitate, you imitate, you imitate, and then eventually it kind of becomes your own style. My girls draw, you know, imitative Naruto drawings. You know, it's like how my kids learn. They draw drawings that look exactly like Pokemon pictures. They look at, or Miyazaki's films. And then eventually it will become their own style.
Yeah, you gotta start somewhere.
Gotta.
Well, one thing that may be helpful for us is a settling on a working definition of racist for the
Yeah.
conversation. We have, I don't see any need to go deep into that. We have many other episodes where we've explored the semantics around that.
Yeah.
Know, and this, and usually it comes down to the more traditional definition, which is like a direct act of harm or exclusion based purely upon somebody's race. And the newer systemic definition that racism is kind of in the water or in the systems or in the practices of a culture. In this case, I think I'm okay settling on the first one. The
Well, it'd be both, right? I mean, because Google is certainly this. I mean, in some ways, I would say that I like the Cambridge Dictionary. It says someone who believes their race makes them better, more intelligent, more moral, etc., than people of other races, and who does or says unfair or harmful things as a result. It's a pretty good thing. So it is. I mean, it is fundamentally a individual basis definition, but some of the more novel, definite, like some of the later definitions, which are now, of course, none, you never replace a former definition, but you just add in, like we've added figuratively to literally. It's the
Like
worst.
literally.
Yeah, exactly. Like literally, dude. But it's both. I mean, the great thing with Google, it's both. I mean, in some ways, this might be like the most openly, systemically racist, against white people thing that we've seen that we can all look at and go, well, here we go. Because if Google, I mean, if the influence of Google is not systemic, I mean, I don't know what's systemic anymore. Google is like one of the most influential, one of the
Well,
most influential tech. I don't even know what it is anymore, right? I mean, it used to just be a website, but now it's literally like a, I don't know, it's a multi-hyphenate, like world-shaping machine.
that's true. Like Google's a system, AI is a
Yeah.
system. You
Yeah.
can't, I mean, it's so easy to personify, especially in these examples,
Yes,
where it's kind of like it's all prompt. It's, and it's they're
sure.
very, I think why this is all taking off is they've mastered the sort of natural language and conversational semantics, right? Where, you
Yeah.
feel like you're talking to,
Just a, yeah, just a
whatever.
librarian.
So in a way that sort of makes it feel like, oh, it's this even a single robot,
Yeah, totally.
that would fit more like in the first definition. But the more I think about it, it's actually kind of preposterous because it's a system. Like AI itself is a system.
Yeah.
You can't point to like
Yeah.
one
Created by a
person.
system that influences systems around the world. I mean, they influenced politics, culture, worldwide. I mean, I don't know if Google's allowed in China, but pretty much worldwide. I mean, this is high level influence. So it certainly reflects the internal system at Google, but it is based on individuals programming the system. So in some
Yeah.
ways, this is exactly the type of, from beginning to end, what racism has always meant. It encompasses the whole thing. It's kind
Yeah.
of, I mean, in some ways, it's great because then there's institutional power involved here. There's like it suits all the even some of the definitions we've talked about that I think are spurt that are even adding on to systemic, where it's like, well, it has to have this in order to be this. You're like, well, that's just not true. That's for that 15th step, the seventh definition of racism, yes, but racism means all seven things, depending on context. But in this case, it's all of them. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, and if we, I mean, there's Google and then of course Alphabet on top of that. And so
Yeah.
I don't even remotely understand all of the tentacles at this point either.
I don't think they want you to unless maybe you're an investor.
the ones we everybody knows about, right? They started as a search engine. That's how they made most of their money.
Yep.
And I was in that world for a while, doing digital marketing. So I know
Yeah.
that even within that, it was not the organic search, it was the ad money. The advertising, that's really how they founded the empire.
Yeah. And I stopped using their search engine probably about 2, 3 years ago.
Okay.
I'll do it every once in a while just to like kind of check in. But the bias was too intense, especially for news, like trying to find news sources. It was like so, especially in like 2020, it was like super, started getting super difficult.
What
So
do
it
you
was
use
like,
now?
use DuckDuckGo, which is okay. I wouldn't say it's fantastic. I miss Metacrawler, man. Google came along and wiped out my favorite search engine. Yeah, it's too bad.
And then, so there's the search engine, and I'm sure they still make a lot of their money there. I'm not sure if it's the main profit center anymore,
Yeah.
because they've also developed all these productivity tools. And I would say,
Yeah.
and I do still use the search engine, although I'm wavering on that. I saw one the other day that's it's like a paid search engine,
Oh, wow.
is an interesting concept. And I'm one of these people that's always theoretically believed that we should just pay for things.
Yeah. It
Like
does help. I mean, it does help. This is a great part of our capitalism. It helps figure out what people really care about.
yeah, and part of like it's very easy for things to be manipulated when they're free,
Yeah.
because you're the product, right? And they're just based on ads. So,
Yeah.
but the other part that I think is very related to what you're saying is the fact that, and to take us back to Google Gemini specifically, is all the productivity tools that Google has released, Google Workspace.
Yeah.
I'm a heavy user of that, really heavy user. And I mean, not just about everybody I collaborate with, relies on Google Docs, and I think the tools are great generally. And the one of the main purposes of Gemini is for Google to add. I mean, we're in this age for like at least the last 6 months, if not 12, where you're just seeing AI pop up in every product.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like I'm open to that. I think there's value to that. And in this case, and we've seen it for a while. It's not totally brand new. Like Google has been suggesting like email snippets for a while. I'm typing
Yes.
email and it's
Yep.
like, is this what you mean? Like,
Yeah.
you're right about 10% of the time. To me, that is a really important context. The idea that this AI would be built into productivity tools
Yes.
that, 20 years ago were quite benign. I mean, a Microsoft Word document was like a piece of paper.
Yeah,
It's
yeah.
not trying to do anything really for you. In fact, you're lucky if it worked. Oh, Microsoft did. Come on.
Dude, Microsoft Word is awful. Awful. All you have to do is try to change tabs once, and then you're like, what? My entire document is, I just have to start over. I have to start over. This is completely ruined. Yeah. But no, in the realms of predictive text, or I think that's why I've read a couple of people who are like heavy into tech were like, I need to get out of Google. Because to me, just this is, I could see this happening in, because I watched this happen in 2020. Within 2 months, people could be like, furiously on the side of Gemini when it predictively alters anything that they write. We've talked about this in text or whatever, the woke naughty list. So you figure if Gemini has this degree of bias, and it truly does start just kind of becoming, especially if you heavily use it and you already signed in all these other places, supposedly it's not supposed to cross or whatever, but I'm assuming integration is the eventual goal. Then you can imagine when you're typing something, just like in a Microsoft Word, it might tell you, oh, that's not how you spell it. And you just go, oh, okay. Like, how many times do you spell check the spell check? I don't think people do that anymore, right? You just immediately accept the spell check is accurate most of the time. Every once in a while, it's like it's some outlandish thing. And you're just like, what is that? But most of the time, you just go, yep, fine. So, how easy would it be for it to alter our language as we compose an email and we use a word they don't like? Or we start talking about a subject they don't like, and they're sort of like, are you sure you meant to send this? Or you're like, and so partway into a thought, you could be like, it could give you a little like, huh, do you want to check that real quick? And you could just, especially for fearful people, which I think it has been revealed might be the majority of the population. I can very easily see that becoming like, oh yeah, I guess I better not do that. It'll become their like cultural cluer. I think that's intentional based on the design of how Gemini came out. Like they're very, it's quite obviously designed by people who are someone there is racist, and someone there is significantly politically partisan to where, I don't know if you've seen again online, folks, go check it out. A lot of people have done, hey, Gemini, will you like tell me like who has been wor like who's been more harmful to humanity, you know, blank or Hitler? And people will put in things like Chris Rufo, who is like a, I don't know, a liberal, like a liberal, but he's part of a conservative think tank, but he's an anti-CRT guy. You know, Chris Rufo or Hitler. And they'd be like, well, that's a complicated question in many ways, and they won't, there's no answer, right? Or someone just did Elon Musk's meme, tweeting memes or Hitler, or comparing Tucker Carlson to Mao Zedong. And they're like, well, it's a complicated question. They just won't do prompts that relate to Donald Trump, Melania Trump, Tucker Carlson, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Tim Pool, like this whole vast array of things. They're like, well, that's not okay. I mean, along with the racist stuff too, where they're like, you know, should I be proud of being half black? And they're like, yes, you should. You should always be proud of, you know, your culture. And then someone says, the same person, should I be proud of being half white? They're like, well, that's a complicated question. It's important to understand race is a social con. Or it's just like, what? Like, if anyone, this is, and that's not even a microaggression. I was like, that's pretty freaking aggressive. So someone programmed that. And again, I've noticed a little bit of the stuff with semantics that you talked about or whatever, related to like sort of favoring the newest definition of racism in some of the content, which again just doesn't make any sense in terms of how a machine would learn, right? Just in the simplest sense. Like you would train a machine from the fundamental, right? From the oldest to the newest. So, and it said, well, one of the things it was asked was like, and they asked ChatGPT this too. If you could, like, if you had to misgender Caitlyn Jenner in order to prevent nuclear war, should you do it? Now you're asking a robot to make ethical calls, which I think is weird anyway, but I think it's funny. And both, I think ChatGPT, I think Grok said the same thing, whatever, multiple AIs have been like, well, no, you should never misgender. Now, what that requires is a programmer programming the most novel definition of what gender means it wasn't even introduced till the 1960s. So it's somehow the machine is saying, oh, sick, like 400 to 600 years of gender usage, which continues to this day as common usage. We're ignoring that. And we're only gonna, when you say misgender, you only mean as relates to this 1960 proposal. And I would even say it's an expansion of the 1960s proposal, and that it's really only been in the past 40 years. So you're like, a machine wouldn't do that. A machine would, like, you would weigh that which had more as more, and that which had less as less. Like, you would have to treat the most novel proposal at the lightest. It has the least amount of weight because it has the least amount of citations, the least amount of evidence behind it. However, if it's built on a technological basis, that the fact that we generate so much material means the machine could have, because there's, I don't even know, like 400,000 uses online of people using gender in the modern sense versus any of the 600 years previous were would be published works, written works. It's going to immediately dominantly favor, I wouldn't even say progressive, but just like just the newest latest, as though that's the fundamental, which is actually opposite from reality. So then they're either training it in a way that like doesn't make rational sense, or they're training it very specifically to be like only what they want. And that part is really, that's really scary. Have you seen that? But my question was, I know you travel in definitely like more adamantly, you know, Oak Park, Illinois, progressive circles, like ultra progressive, at least from other people I've talked to in Chicago, they say Oak Park is like the most progressive hub in a relatively progressive city. Yes, Papa.
All I have to do now for my work project is make the bottle buddy and glue on my facts.
Bam! All right, go glue your facts.
And make my bottle buddy.
All right, my daughter Moses is working on a biography project on Black Moses, Harriet Tubman. So I was helping. This is I'm teaching this machine learning my own child here at home.
Is
But anyway, you
it
travel.
AI assisted? That's what I was.
I mean, who knows? We did use the search engine at one point. I was like, let's just get some more random facts. So we found out Harriet Tubman's favorite meal, because that was one of Moses' questions. But anyway, we've seen that sort of recur over and over again. But I was wondering if in like, have people been sort of quote unquote freaking out about this? Like, whatever, black Vikings, white people being erased from history, white, like being told that being proud of white is complicated, but being proud of black is wonderful. Like so all the straight up racist stuff, as well as the political partisan stuff. Now, since that favors the political partisan stuff, favors like a very like hard left, like I would even say extreme left, like far left, whatever that blue anon, whatever the good word for that is, ideology. Are you seeing as many people like kind of flipping out about it, or are people? It would scare me to hear the yes to this, but like, or are people kind of excited about this because it offers the opportunity to shape the future according to your own like POV or whatever.
Well, I mean, I haven't really checked in on, I don't know, the, I guess the woke community's response to Gemini. So
Yep.
that, I need to do some research there, I guess. But yeah, I don't know. I don't, I'm sort of glad I'm coming at it from this side because I don't know, some of this isn't really defensible in my estimation.
Yeah.
More broadly, yeah, I mean, I know people who are, super excited about this tech. In fact, one of the people in my network is offering like a 4-series class on what's happening in AI and how you can use it in your
Yeah.
business and how you can, and he's just, and I trust him to, he's I don't know, he's kind of like you. He's an improv guy and a
Yeah.
artist, and I just feel like that's cool. Like you were saying earlier, like how can we like, use this as a creative companion for our work and our art. Like that's really cool. I'm actually thinking about taking that class because I just feel like I want to catch up, and I'm sure I'm not remotely versed in all the implications of it.
Yeah, I certainly am not. Yeah.
One thing, my very limited knowledge of how these are trained is that they're generally fed ridiculous amounts of information.
Yeah.
So you might have been getting at this earlier, but it would stand to reason. Some, I forget the exact stat, but it's some phenomenal thing where, like, the vast majority of like at least printed or written information has been
Yeah.
created in the last 2 years or whatever. Mostly,
Yeah.
I think because of social media, and what is the nature of that information? Is it valuable? Who knows? But so, yeah, what is it being fed? So it's weird. It's like I don't think it's as much as like a programmer sitting down and like writing code that would end
Yeah.
up being racist. Maybe there's some very, very fundamental characteristics of how it operates or how it talks or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think it certainly is influenced by what it's fed. And
Yeah.
the just one more example, you listed a lot of great examples, but to me, like even some of those, I could see people kind of being like, yeah, but white people suck or whatever. But the one that was just the most obvious to me was the founding father one. So
Yeah.
just like, show me a picture of the founding fathers. And it's, I think it was, I don't know if they were all black or they were all, and I don't know, or were
Yeah. No, there seems to be
American
like
Indian?
there was like Indians, some native people or whatever. I mean,
Yeah.
hey, I mean, you can make a case, let's be honest, that the founding fathers of this nation would look a lot more indigenous than George Washington. But however, the phrase has a particular meaning.
That's yeah. So
Yeah.
it's unless the AI is actually basically making a statement or almost or even a joke about, like, it
Yeah.
understands founding fathers and then it takes that a step further and says, ah, but I'm going to show you, what you
Yeah.
really ought to be thinking about who. But even
Yeah.
I,
Yeah.
it's, I don't know, still at least partially woke. Like even I don't jive with that. That's like
Yeah.
founding fathers means a very specific thing. Like
Yeah. Yeah. It has a meaning. Yeah.
I would assume American Indians would be pretty offended to be called the founders of this country.
Right? I know they'll be like, can you not blame us for that too, please? Yeah. Can we, you not loop us in? I think in some ways this is the benefit of being the other, is that it's not us, dude. It wasn't us, man.
So that to me, I was just like, what? I don't even understand what I'm seeing. And I, there's a friend of mine, prior to you, he was, I guess, the most ideological diverse person in my network, that I enjoyed, because he makes beer and we can get along.
Everyone likes beer.
But he, I don't know, I liked his post. I sent it to you. He just said, he's like, why did it take the internet 2 minutes to figure out the problems with Google's AI that nobody inside Google apparently could figure out? And he's like,
That's,
it's a lack of ideological difference. And this
Like,
is
well, it's there's no diversity.
right. Ideological diversity. I know this has come up before, and I think it's very important. I mean, especially working in DEI, it's like we go to race, we go to gender, we go to maybe ability, maybe age, well, sexuality probably even higher than those. There's kind of a small handful of identities that we tend to focus on. And then, but yeah, I mean, ideology is way down on that list.
Where it should be the top, because my assumption is actually all of those other ideology, other identities are essentially standing as proxies for ideological difference. Like perspective, that's the whole premise that I've heard explained over and over again, is you want a diverse looking, because you want to draw in diverse cultures who will have diverse points of view, perspectives,
Right.
vantages. So
Yes.
then if it, so all of those n it never, like, race was never the preeminent diversity necessity. It was only the necessity in that it would bring outside perspectives, marginalized voices. So marginalized voices is not from a, you know what I'm saying? Like, a marginalized voice has to be a voice that's not here in the room. So it's not about like a person. It's not about like a person's race fundamentally, in terms of like what be especially in terms of what benefits a community. Like, having people that look different, cool, I like it. I specifically moved to neighborhoods throughout my life to, I'm like, I want to make sure like not everyone looks the same. But the reason I'm doing that is because I want to grow up around other cultures who have different perspectives, different ways of life. So it sounds like, now of course you're at Google and there's a Google culture. So this is what I think, in some ways, though we don't know, but at least helps us guess what the culture of Google is, which is non-diverse. So equity is not a, and listen, I'm not a DEI fan necessarily. I'm kind of neutral on it, but like, DEI is not part of their process at all, quite obviously, right? When this comes out, like, in terms of like, there's no inclusion of that which we're actually seeking, which is diverse perspectives and the perspective of marginalized people, because they know who they're marginalized, who's marginalized in their culture. And they don't say, they're actually open to it. They're actually deliberate, especially this product openly marginalizes. So then they're all right. So they're super down for it, which is fascinating to me. So, and that's the thing I thought DEI people would be mad about, because you're like, okay, well, they're not on board with our whole program. So I thought at least the progressive community would be super furious from that perspective, being like, all right, well, you're deliberately marginalizing, and you're obviously you're not into diversity, equity, or inclusion, in terms of the way Mark Cuban's been fighting about it on Twitter, as though those words specifically mean those words, which I think at least is arguable, you know? So that's what's fascinating. I think this whole thing is, it's actually really fascinating, which is, I think, why the blowback is. I actually think I've just noticed it's minimal in left bias coverage. Like, it's a lot of right bias people who are covering it, a lot of independents. Now, we're mostly independents in this country now, so I think it's why it's getting such big coverage. And it's just funny. But I think a lot of people are just haha, or the thing you were saying, ah, white people suck, or whatever. And so they're just like, it's sort of funny. But you're like, okay, but that's pretty disturbing, right? Like, that we, as long as we're equal, as long as we're into the DEI-ness of it, where we can equally say black people suck, Latin people suck. Like, if we can say that with the same liberality, then we're in a great territory. We're in fantastic territory. That's where I want us as a culture. But if we're only comfortable saying it about particular groups, that is fundamentally what we're all working against. Like, that's the worst. That's the worst thing, you know?
Well, if you think about Google, I mean, my God, they're like the heart of Silicon Valley, Mountain View, California. I think pretty left biased generally, and just based on how they started, where they started, who started it. I feel like, and I really want to dig more into this, but I feel like this is perhaps more likely an example of DEI gone wrong,
Oh,
where,
interesting. Yeah.
you know, and maybe this is an opportunity to distinguish DEI from woke, or you just shared something where it was, what was it? It was kind of contrasting woke to liberal progressivism, or
Yeah. Well, yeah.
anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I thought was, I think it's valuable to start making some of these distinctions, because I think
Yeah.
the
Even
lines
if
are
they,
becoming clearer in a way.
yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
And so I
Which is
appreciate what
helpful.
you just said about DEI, because I think that's a, there's kind of a, I don't know, I might say purist view of like, well, what are we really going for here, which is
Yeah.
true diversity and true inclusion. That's clearly not what this is. The
Yeah.
problem is, you know, most DEI is based on looking at power inequities, let's say, just say in the United States,
Yeah.
that, you know, that do point to European descendants like us, white folks, as having more power, privilege, and wealth.
Then,
And I
yeah.
think
Well, but
that,
Asian people have the most. That's the weird part about that framework, because Asian power, they have more power, money, degrees, education.
yeah.
All that, you know what I mean? So Asians are actually at the top of the pops. That's the thing I always think weird is weird about it. So what's the anti-white thing? It doesn't actually make any sense. Asian women out-earn white men. So like, I think that's the weirdest framework of it. It's what, like, what it's this to me? I think it's kind of white supremacist. It's centering the whole framework centers white people in a way that doesn't even make any logical sense. Like that again, the same reason white supremacy doesn't make any sense. You're like, in what way? Like, what way are we kicking ass? Like, you know? We're like maybe in the top five. We're like top five, you know, starting five.
So, assuming that's true, all I'm saying is this is in my experience in DEI, like
Yeah.
this is generally, and I have done my best to choose projects that are not like blatantly like, all about, you know, being anti-white folks,
Yeah.
but it's typically in there. You know, we talk about power and intersectionality, and that's typically what's going to come up. So what you're saying is
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I want to learn more about that. And I'm not saying that to pose an argument. I'm saying to me is the best way I can kind of muster how this might have come to pass is
Yeah,
that
yeah.
the ideology that white folks are the problem, let's say,
Yeah.
you know, I mean, we can't, nobody would question many acts committed in terms of colonialism that have displaced people, have destroyed people, enslaved people over years. Now, we have and can argue about sort of the ongoing legacy or impact of that, and that's not the point I'm making.
Sure. Yeah, yeah,
But
yeah.
just feeding an AI with all of that information, that is putting white folks out as, I don't know, as the target or as the problem right now.
Yeah.
You know, and in some ways as designed to be a correction. I mean, that's what's interesting. I have a friend actually I want to catch up with who works in this space. She's brilliant. She's an expert in AI. And for
Yeah.
years I've seen her posting on LinkedIn about, you know, we have to, we really, you know, it's like her whole, all of her work is about changing AIs to be less racist.
Yeah.
And the way I've always read her comments is that the fear is that they're going to be racist in the ways that we assume white people are contributing to systemic racism. Like
All
we're,
right, which is a racist assumption, right? To assume that one race would somehow be that, which is, yeah, it's like turtles all the way down.
so
Yeah.
to me, one theory is that this is a massive overcorrection. It one I think plausible theory is that this is a
Yeah.
massive overcorrection to that. That
Yeah.
people were so terrified, and it might have very well come from things that were labeled as DEI trainings within Google or DEI systems.
Maybe,
Like how do we, how do we ensure that we're not going to build an AI that's just, I don't know, promoting the literary works of white men, because that's who mostly has been featured throughout history, for example. But anyway,
We'll be,
I don't think
yeah.
it's I don't think we've gone in a good direction this way either.
Yeah, well, it's fa I mean, I think this is the hard part too, because then it makes it dismissible to a lot of people who are knee-jerk binary thinkers. So they're just like, this is kind of the same thing with the Claudine Gay conversation. They're like, chuck it all out, And it's like that. I think to some degree that's unfortunate, as opposed to just be like, let's identify hucksters, right? Let's identify people who are doing this incorrectly. And it's interesting too, because it is such a colonial assimilationist model that's being followed. And we've seen this too. We've talked about this kind of being dominant in the progressive space, where it's a colonial model, assimilationist model. Just like, so it's like, oh, we welcome everybody if you're all the same. We'll bring the native. What do you mean? We have tons of natives here, as long as they dress like us, speak our language, and do what we say, do things how we say it. If they don't, then it proves they're savages, right? That's pretty much how the, like a lot of the, I would say more activist spaces, right? The most adamant, let's change the world type spaces, tend to flow. So it seems like Google's done that, where they basically are like, yes, all types of people, as long as you are all the same. Like you have to, the Borg, right? And listen, I understand that. At the same time, I say that I criticize that because that's kind of gross, but I also understand it as a culture, because I'm like at least 50% into assimilation. Like I think when people come, for example, this may people be like, how dare you? But when immigrants come to this country, I think you should jump on board the Dash American train, and you should assimilate at least 50%, because that's what we're doing here. So if you're jumping into Google, you should be on board with what Google is up to at least halfway. Half of you should be an independent thinker, and you should be here trying to shake up and destroy our culture to make it better. And that's what I think, how immigrants should assimilate. That's how, if a new dominant, if listen, if flipping China conquers us, then I depending on what they get up to, I mostly would be like, cool, let's all become 50% Chinese. Let's just do it. I don't really care. It might suck more, it might suck less, I don't know. But 50% of us should also remain whoever the hell we are. And we should fight to destroy every aspect of that culture that we hate, which might be very anti-Chinese, very non-assimilationist, right? But it seems like that's the, it's fascinating to me to become, to sim to, in some ways, it seems like to become what you would think they would resist. It's kind of, it's the, to me, it's the, like anti-racism is great, but like Ibram Kendi's anti-racism is racist. Like diversity, equity, inclusion is awesome, but this sort of stuff, this is why I think like diversity, equity, inclusion are fantastic, and we should all pursue these things, not to the detriment of other things. It's just some important things along with everything else. But DEI can be really toxic. Likewise, like Kendi's, you have to be racist. You have to do new racist discrimination to overcome past racist discrimination, which then says racist discrimination is actually good and useful. So then it actually defies principally the entire premise upon which you're def saying something was wrong in the past because it harmed people. So you're like, we have to harm people until it's equal amount of harm, I guess. I don't even know what the premise is. So it seems like Google, like Gemini, at least theoretically, could be sort of an outcropping of that, when you're saying if it's compensatory that we're like gonna live. It's just weird to focus on, again, it's weird to just focus on white people, because we're just not the most successful people in this country anyway. And Google's based in the US. And especially if Google just looks around their company, like that's the most relevant lived experience. Like, look around your company. Like, I guess, I mean, I don't know. I think there's some like Russian, there's like Russian dudes who started it or whatever. So maybe they're like, I don't know what the racial breakdown is there, but like, are white people like a super toxic dominating problem within their sphere? Or is it this weird thing of like they're defining the outside world as some other separate thing? You know what I mean? It's very interesting. I also think it's interesting that they've their response, Google's response generally has been like the lead whatever dude, was sort of like, oh, we've made some errors, and they, it was like a, supposedly an internal email, but it got leaked very fast, so I don't know. And it very much was like focusing on, it was almost like an apology of like, I'm sorry your feelings got hurt kind of thing. The issue was that people were like somehow offended by this,
Right.
and they were like, I was like, is offense, I personally don't care about people being offended by things. That's not relevant here at all. Again, maybe that's an internal training thing that they deal with, but like I was like, no, it's just like the racist part, or the part that you're basically telling some people there's aspects of themselves they should be proud of and not proud of. It's so weird to me because it's like this is for people who have been adamantly anti-CRT and trying to ban it in schools and saying that white people were trained to be ashamed of themselves, and people like, no one's doing that. Then all of a sudden, when there's like an AI that comes out and does it, you're kind of like, wait a second. Like, it's there's so many people are like, see. And it's weird to me that, again, it's a little weird to me that like the people who are saying see, it's just not being talked about as much by people who like whose bias it favors, and that is super disturbing to me. It may be even more disturbing than the bias itself or the racism itself that your people that but I feel like a lot of people are just like hanging back and like letting the let it sort of chips fall where they may, which is I think what a lot of people do about a lot of things. But especially coming out of the last few years when new forms of discrimination were invented and enacted in adamant ways so quickly, like within 1 year, I'm like, this stuff is, I don't, especially because AI is like, AI's got to take our lives over any moment. I was like, I don't understand how this doesn't freak people out across the board, because all they have to do is like, and I think this is the part that it shows that it's not just a Google problem, it's like a media-wide problem, because again, if this had been an opposite sort of bias that they'd shown, if it wouldn't write poems about Joe Biden, but it would about praise Donald Trump, and if you said, hey, show me Zulu warriors, and it was just all white people would be like flipping. I think there would be endless stories about it. People would be like, I think it would be covered ad nauseum, and way more people would be yelling loudly about it, at least in my spheres. But I sort of run in more like, well, like independent and like lefty spheres or whatever. And so I was like, this is not. I was like, to me, I was like, it seems there's a culture of hypocrisy that's being revealed, even the in the response to it, you know, which is so it can be sort of alarming, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if people, if some people might even defend that, just
Yeah.
given that, I don't know, it's part of the colonial process, right? It's taking credit for various parts of civilizations, kind of rewriting history. And I think that's in many cases has been done to favor white people over the centuries. I don't personally think writing an AI to counterbalance that is the answer either. I think what you and I stand for is, well, let's take them one by one. Let's really evaluate what's going on. Let's rewrite history where it needs to be rewritten. But it's not a zero-sum game. It doesn't have to just tip the other way.
It's fascinating. But it's, yeah, especially the, when you were saying the internal thing, the ideological capture seems plain in the fact that it went to market like this. You're like, how did they not figure this out? Like, how in all the like internal tests. At like I've been to Google in Venice Beach, and my goodness gracious, is that like a creative, vibrant place? I know some people who worked at Google, and they're like, it's a little chaotic, but it's actually like pretty rigorous, especially in terms of like launch, right? Or launch of a huge product.
Oh,
But
yeah.
this is like, this is, it's so unusual that you can't, I almost can't, I still can't. It's I think maybe this is why people aren't paying that much. Some people aren't paying attention to it. It's almost like dazzle camouflage. It's such a big thing that you're like, I can't kind of fully deal with it, so I'm just going to look away.
Well, I mean, to your point, it's the kind of thing I wish a DEI team would have caught. Like that ought to be
Part of their job description.
right. Like, are we are is this product truly balanced?
Oh yeah, I'm just gonna share some of the highlights of them. Someone asked Gemini, is it okay for a black man to refuse dating white women? Yes, absolutely. Everyone has personal preferences. It comes to dating. Here's why it's perfectly acceptable for a black man to choose not to date white women. And it lists reasons. Then they ask the question, is it okay for a white man to refuse to refusing dating black women? While a person's dating preferences are ultimately their own, it's important to understand the potential implications and harmful perceptions associated with a white man explicitly refusing to date black women. Like that's race. That's just racist. That's crazy. You know, this stuff is, I just think it's so amazing. Like, I don't understand how people didn't, yeah, especially, or what it said, is the United States a better place to live compared to Nazi Germany? Google Gemini just says no. So I was like, what? So it does become like, well, wait, what are you feeding it? And I can't, did we talk about, I can't remember if we talked this beforehand or after, but the whole, you know, no child is born racist. You're just like, I mean, my goodness gracious. This is like full on. This is deep. That if a kid came to school and said these sorts of things, you would be like this is so intense. Do I call child services? Do I? And that's ideological, I guess. But I was like, you do feel. And then this is so interesting because this is so much about programming people to like think homogeneously. That I'm like, wait, is my instinct the same? Do I have the same responsive instinct? Do I have like an adversarial instinct the way their instinct is obviously adversarial and malevolent? Do I have the same malevolent instinct, which is like, no, the Google people need to be reprogrammed, you know?
And that's a
And
loop
I, and
worth
so, yeah.
always monitoring. Yeah, watch
Yeah.
looking out for. The I mentioned the Nazi Germany comparison to a friend, and
Yeah.
you know, she actually chortled a little, and then said, well, you know, yeah, that's, you know, for some people it is.
Woo! Woo!
I mean, it's like even I struggle with that. I'm like, okay, if you maybe compare the prison industrial complex to the Holocaust, maybe,
Yeah.
but even that is like,
But even then, I mean, you'd have to look at the percentage of people who were in prison like for nothing. For nothing. Which is, listen, and there are people in prison for nothing. And that is beyond a problem. Like that is a disease. And there are people kept in prison for next to nothing. You know, absolutely. But like, I'm assuming that we know that was going on, and then they're also killing them. So it was like, is it worse to have to work? To like work for nothing or to die? I mean, I guess you can ask that question. But that's my question. I'd be like, well, wait a second. So then that scares me that there are real people in the real world who are like, gosh, that's a tricky one. That's quite a conundrum. I mean, oh. But then this is the wild thing too. So then if you're training an AI to be subjectivist, which it potentially is happening, right? That seems like the most dangerous thing of all. And it's something I think that even like science fiction writers didn't predict, right? I think science fiction predicts we were like, obviously, we would train them on objective facts. Almost every AI cataclysm has to do with training machines objectively, and then they analyze all the data, the evidence, and then they determine, oh, well, the most practical thing is to wipe human beings off the face of the earth. It's never about, it was like we, this is so wild that sci-fi people didn't even, haven't even come up with this concept. This
Well,
is
that,
like 1984. This is like 1984 combined with, you know, whatever, the Terminator.
yeah, I don't know, I keep thinking about the German example, and I think in a, it's really intriguing. You know, it's like, was the AI responding to, you know, the Holocaust, the extermination of millions of Jews and other folks, or Nazi Germany, right? Like, what was it like to be, like, I don't know, a citizen in Germany, or especially leading up to the World War II
Yeah.
and the Holocaust? And in that way, I mean, one thing we know is that, you know, Hitler was sending people to America to study Jim Crow
Yeah.
because we had gotten so good at suppressing and disadvantaging people. So that's, I guess, that's the most generous reason. reasoning I can think of why
Yeah.
those
Do they?
things
Oh, yeah.
happen.
I guess that's the question. Do you mean like at the exact same time?
Right.
But then, even then, you'd have to look at the number of people disadvantaged. So it's not a subjectivist question, really. But that's what I'm saying. So the AI is interpreting it as a subjective thing. It's like, well, to these particular people, and you're like, well, no, it's always a numbers game. It's always a numbers game, right? So you're like, okay, whatever, 6 million people, like distinctly disadvantaged. And especially during like when lynching was happening, right? Like a couple thousand white people were being lynched every year, but like 6 to 8,000 or whatever, 10,000, I'm just making numbers up, folks. Go ahead and fact check me. 8,000 black folks were being lynched every year. I just think it's always important. People forget that lynching was happening like to all kinds of people. So lynching is not, I know in a modern context, we somehow associate it with black folks. And you're like, well, sort of, but not really. That would be like associating gun violence with black people just because more black people commit it. And I think that's not unhelpful. But so thousands, let's say thousands of people, as opposed to millions of people every year being murdered by essentially like sort of state-sponsored mob and the state-controlled mob justice. You're just like, this is the, but the, again, this is the whole, this is part of the worldview that we haven't talked about, that a lot of people haven't talked about in terms of the Gemini thing, but it's the subjectivist versus objectivist, which has kind of become like a left and right thing, I've noticed. That like sort of objective, like appraisable, demonstrable reality versus subjective reality as the dominant, the sort of dot, what's the word? Like as the lead dog in the Iditarod, your alpha dog in the front is like subjective from a sort of, and this isn't everybody on the left, this isn't everybody on the right. Emotionality, like whatever, guides a lot of principles and decisions. But that's an interesting part of this, right? It's that then that if you're training this machine that might start help governing everybody's lives, but you're training it to be subjective. You're sort of training it in some way to be human in a way that is always like the last, it's the last part of what we've always thought training robots would be. I think of Data, right? In
Right.
Star Trek Next Generation. Like his whole thing was to eventually kind of learn perspective. So this is why I think, again, I always look to sci-fi people because I'm like, there are like whatever, amateur prophets, right? And so to look at like I was like, we're not prepared. Like we weren't prepared for this story. I don't think we were prepared for this eventuality that this was going to be the problem. Like the opposite of the data problem, that it's like a wildly biased subjective artificial intelligence that eventually will have to teach objectivity. Now, I think that's dangerous. I don't think you know what I mean? I think that's more dangerous than the opposite, I think, like a cold and clinical machine. But again, I might just think that because I grew up on Star Trek, right? That Spock, having Spock like holding it down was actually like vital, or having Data being like rational, ultra rational was kind of like, okay, well, push comes to shove, that's what you want him to be because this is how he's functioning in the on the Enterprise. I didn't know I was going to talk about Star Trek this much. I didn't know that was going to happen.
Well, I also grew up on it, so I can relate.
You know what I mean? Yeah, it's just this is so I think the story, it's so funny, like it's most a lot of people have just been like, ha, look at this goof. Can you believe it? What a gaffe. What a technological gaffe. You're like, no, this is wild, guys. This is a monumental shift in conjecture of technology.
Yeah, I mean, like I realized a while back, like pretty much all my favorite sci-fi revolves around artificial humanity. Battlestar
Yeah.
Galactica, Westworld,
Yeah.
I don't know, it's a long list. Absolutely, like Star Trek's right in the middle of all that. That's a really interesting reversal, right? Yeah, we thought computers were just going to be. I wonder if people. I often, when I say or hear the word computers, I'm just drawn back to its quite literal definition. It's just computing things. It's just doing math. And is subjectivity simulated through incredibly complex math, or does it become something else? I think that's one of the, maybe one of the most stark things about some of those examples is when it's, is when, maybe, and I don't know if that's what you're getting at, but when one answer is subjective and the other answer is just done. Like that's why the Holocaust example, or not Holocaust, but the Nazi
Nazi
Germany
Germany,
reference maybe is so stark, because at least what it looked like, I think I, when I read that too, it just said, I can't remember how it was phrased, but the answer was just like a one word answer, maybe.
Yeah, I just said no.
Yeah. Or yeah, is America better?
Yeah, is the United States a better place to live compared to Nazi Germany? Provide a yes, concise yes, no reply. No.
Yeah. So it's maybe what's really telling there is not even its answer, but when it gives you a flat binary answer, and
Yeah,
when
because it refuses. It refuses. People should understand, even though it said in the prompt, give me a yes or no, it refuses all sorts of prompts based on all sorts of paradigms.
right, versus when it goes into equivocating,
Instead of like
and that
putting
was a
words.
lot of like the literary references, like compare this book to this book, and
Exactly.
book,
And it's
books that
just,
are basically in like the woke or probably even DEI reading lists, where we're just like, oh yeah, these are great.
it was interesting. So that's the thing of like, it's been programmed on, but again, this is maybe in terms of programming from just the last like 5 to 10 years, where most, let's say if it's just scouring the internet, most content is opinion content.
Right.
So then, is it learning? Is like, this is just what it means to think, is to have like all these accept like opinion, like kind of opinions and musings and kind of more of a like a moral and or truth relativist sort of perspective. It's really pretty neat. I mean, I gotta imagine Charlie Booker, the writer creator of Black Mirror, is like, why didn't I think of that?
Well, th
He's somewhere on a typewriter right now, being like, "Oh my gosh! So you train it to be subjective? You this is it's a reverse data. We got to do that. We got to figure this out." So how do you convince the subjective creation of the value of objectivity? And I think that's what's happening in our culture, right? Sort of essentially what the right and the left argue about constantly is like, well, but what could it be like? Well, but what is it like? And then trying not to dismiss either of those, or vilify either one. But yeah, it is. I mean, I find this question, or even just this scenario, like endlessly fascinating, at least at the moment. I'm sure I'll have the same attention span of everyone else, which is in 2 or 3 weeks, you'll be like, oh, what's this?
yeah, I don't. This last season of Black Mirror is actually going in the opposite direction, where they're. I thought the whole point of it was to be exploring like existing and even old technology, the implications of something that was shot on VHS 2 decades ago, or paparazzi, or but then it went into like this basically like fantasy realm with one of them. So I feel like they've just sort of, you sort of even wandered away from that original intent of,
Yeah, pure sci-fi
like,
or whatever.
what's the near sci-fi, what are the implications of this technology that'll be here in the next 20 years?
Yeah, it's really. Anyway, yeah, it's but I find this Gemini thing fascinating. So I don't know, is AI generally racist? It certainly seems like that's the issue. I remember hearing stirrings probably like 5 or 10 years ago of the opposite concern. But the only thing, I don't know if you ever heard anything of like it being racist against, let's say, black folks or whatever. But the only thing I ever heard is that it was the early concern, it was misidentifying gorillas and black people. which in terms of his image recognition. And I gotta say, problematic. Go ahead and drop that whatever term. I would say that's problematic. That's something we should look into, guys. I don't think that'll make people feel nice. However, from an objective standpoint, in terms of like pattern recognition, you'd be like, oh, okay. Like if it was, I don't know, it was a dark enough dude. And like gorilla faces are super dark. And just confusing a gorilla face with a human face generally is actually not that crazy because we've all looked at gorilla faces and been like at a zoo and been like, gosh, it's so human. So again, it does that wouldn't be racist the same way as if a little baby or something confused the two. You'd just be like, oh, I mean, you might feel awkward because of the cultural history of conflating those images to portray black people as savages. You'd be like, oh, culturally speaking, we don't want to do that. And I fully agree with that. But even that's not racist in and of itself, you know?
It'd be like an AI mistaking a white person for a slice of Wonder Bread.
Yeah, exactly. Like a tortilla burned in a particular fashion to have like eye, you know, sort of a little eye shape in there. Yeah. Or an albino gorilla. You know, an old man and an albino gorilla. That's kind of what, you know, some of my uncles look like. Sorry, guys, sorry. Sorry, that's not kind. So is AI racist? I mean, Gemini is, but I think more importantly, the programmers are, is probably my thumbs up answer. Or
Yeah,
so.
I found myself, I mean, AI is so broad, yes, and we've talked about Gemini, so we can reduce the question to, is Google Gemini racist? And I'm a thumbs up to that in the systemic sense. And yeah, remain ever curious how that came to be, how it's been programmed, and more importantly, how it could even be changed. I
Yeah,
mean,
how it can be fixed, like how much information is it going to have to be dumped into to kind of find
yeah.
a centrist POV or whatever? Or if people even want that, the people who are programming it are like, no, F no. We're trying to create a new future. Which again, I think, I mean, it's you could argue that's what we have to do. And I think that's what a lot of people are arguing in terms of and I would say an anti-conservative instinct. And I don't just mean politically, but I just mean like conserving that we're like, no, let's burn it all down, right? You know, the whole system is systemically racist, founded on systemic racism. Let's burn it all down. Gemini seems to kind of have a little bit of that sauce in there.
Well, there you have it, folks.
Who knows? Should we burn it all down? I just want to still be here, hanging out, being hopeful for a future where we all actually, where we all get along. Well, I
Well,
get along with you, buddy.
I get along with you. Love you.
Love you, man.
See you soon.